Wanted to mention I was wandering around with my mask on prior to the service, noting there are a number of guests this evening. I know you heard the announcement about the Helping Hands Fund. The way we are receiving our offering in this service is through the giving stations that are in the hallway. And I noted that was omitted from the bulletin, that announcement about where to make your gift. And so please know there are two giving stations in the hallways by the doors as you leave this evening, and that's where our offerings go. The sermon for this evening, for those who are watching online, as well as those here, is entitled, Where There Can Be No Darkness. And for the sermon this evening, the scripture reading is from the Gospel of John this year. In chapter 1, I'm reading the first five verses, but in that segment of verses, the focus is on verse 4 and 5 about the light and the life of Christ. Listen as I read God's word on this Christmas Eve. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, as we wait in these next few moments to light our candles on this Christmas Eve in celebration of the Savior of the world, we pray for others. We pray for those especially who do not feel loved and those who struggle to love others. We pray for those in darkness everywhere. And so, O Holy One, be the light in our darkness this Christmas, that we may reflect your light into the dark corners of our world. We pray this prayer in the strong name of Jesus, who is our coming newborn King. Amen. We are finally here together on Christmas Eve. We didn't do that last year, did we? Every segment of the worship service last year was recorded independently. Indeed, when I got to the sermon time last year, it was Mark Johnston at the booth, and I was the only person at the podium. What an awkward and strange feeling. It was such a contradiction, such a surprise to be in that context. But we have caught up this year. And what a busy Christmas season it has been for so many of us. I suppose during times like this, during this season of Christmas, we all get excited and we all get sucked into the frantic rush that is called Christmas. I once heard about a woman who just before Christmas, she went rushing out to the store because it suddenly dawned on her that she had not mailed a single Christmas card yet, which was part of her Christmas tradition. And so she quickly rushed to the store and she bought the first box of Christmas cards that she came to. There were 50 cards in the box that she purchased, and they were perfect. Bright red with a green border, and right in the middle of that card, it said in big letters, Merry Christmas. And on the cover of that card was a place for the sender to write his or her name. Well, she bought that box of cards. She hurriedly signed them on the cover, and then she realized she used 49 of them, and she quickly dropped them in the mail. A couple of days later, on Christmas Eve, as she was cleaning her house in anticipation of some guests, she came across the one card that was still left in the box. She picked it up and she thought to herself, I wonder what the message was inside the box. I was in such a hurry, I never looked. And so she opened it and this is what she read. This card is just to say, another little gift is on its way. she collapsed in her chair, realizing that 49 of her closest friends were now looking for a gift in the mail that would never come. Well, I want to say to you this evening, if you look long and hard enough at John's version of the Christmas story, what you find is surprise, and what you find are contradictions. The night of his birth took place in God's fullness of time, of course, in God's fullness of times, but it was also at that time in the world one of the worst of times. There was so much pain in the world, so much hunger, so much poverty, and it was into that darkness that the light of Christ would come. And because our lives and because our world is so often filled with similar, startling contradictions, maybe, just maybe, this is one of the reasons that the Christmas story speaks so powerfully to us every year again and again. As I worked on this sermon, for example, I realized early in December I was surrounded by a world of contradictions. Like all of us are in this season. That should be no surprise, really. We are surrounded by the glory and the glitter and the night lights of Christmas, and yet we also hear in the news about pain and darkness. For example, like the destruction caused by the lives of so many people by that outbreak of tornadoes that ripped across 6 different states, the worst storm of its kind in all recorded history, just a few weeks ago, just before Christmas. One little town that we heard about was Mayfield, Kentucky, and you may have heard it was all but wiped off of the map, but it is now, you should hear, bustling with people trying to provide order in the midst of chaos that has taken place there. And there are people there tonight who were standing outside without buildings, who were holding candles and singing carols in the midst of the darkness that they have encountered. Christmas is filled with such contradictions. I processed the news of that tornado outbreak as I was observing lots of things happening here. Dozens of volunteers in the church were reemerging. Church staff were working extraordinarily hard to try to make this a glorious Christmas for us to be back in person. And what a joyous ring, sing, and mingle event we had. It was joyous. The cookies were fantastic, by the way. And then there was that glorious Christmas cantata last Sunday, and it was glorious. It was. And along with my observing people bringing gifts during the month of December, during Advent, for migrant workers from the tree in the narthex, from hearing about our youth working with Metropolitan Ministries to help others, from hearing about the children in Sunday school making Advent wreaths, I also had the pleasure during this month to be with dozens of small children from our Kids Corner preschool as I could hear them squeal in delight as Santa came again to the preschool and played with them on the playground. I also had the joy of being in their midst at their Christmas program and hearing them sing carols to their parents. It was marvelous. And during all of that, I remembered listening and seeing in the news that of political bickering, crime taking place in our cities, and tragedy in the news again and again. Contradiction was my experience in this month. All of us who were able to be together again on this Christmas Eve, we are just overjoyed to do that. But all of us are also painfully aware that the last 20 months of this pandemic have been perhaps one of the most difficult times in our lives. And there are some family circles that are yet to be able to reconnect. Life, death, joy, sorrow, darkness, light, all are wound up together in this contradictory night for us in these few moments we are together this evening to light candles in the darkness. It's very much like that story of the first Christmas. And I have realized this in the midst of it all, that sometimes it seems to me that Christmas is like being in the darkness and seeing the light better and brighter than ever before. Note with me, this is the way it was on that first Christmas. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was darkness over the whole earth. Poverty, again, disease, injustice, they were everywhere. The Roman legions had crushed underfoot one group after another in oppressive ways. And it was into that darkness that the light of life, Jesus, was born. Don't forget, the Bible reminds us that he was born at night in that stable. That the shepherds heard the announcement from the angels at night. That the wise men followed the star that would announce his birth in the darkness of the night, not during the day. Even Herod concocted an evil plan of killing those innocent children to try to wipe out the long prophesied coming king. And Herod tried to do that under the cover of darkness. Maybe, you see, maybe that's why the disciple John here is trying to write his version of the Christmas story with those particular words that we heard in verse 5. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Like that first Christmas, there is also darkness still in our world today. There are those who are hungry that we seek to feed. Those who are homeless that we seek to care for. Those who feel unloved that we reach out to. And then there is prejudice and crime. And there is daily news reports of the disregard that people have for the lives of others. What a year it has been in our world. And so you see, as we move through this season of joy, it seems we do that under the constant shadow of darkness. And I suppose that maybe that's why Christmas looks better to me this year than ever before. Because when it's dark, when it is so dark, you can see the light brighter and better. Think about the many stories that follow after the recorded birth we have of Jesus. As Jesus grows up, he begins to meet people, many of them whose lives were dead-ended. And yet once they encountered him, their lives were given new purpose and direction. Think with me, for example, of the one man who came to him, a religious leader of all people, who came to him under the cover of darkness at night to ask the question, how can I be born from above? Or as other translations say, how can I be born again, Jesus? These people that Jesus met, they were all changed by the encounter with him. And it still happens today in the world and in our lives through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And it is my prayer that perhaps even for some here this evening or some of you who are watching online, that even by the soft light of candlelight, tonight you will allow him to transform your life anew. Perhaps transform your life even like the story that took place in the Second World War in the Battle of the Bulge, of all places. The story goes there was a young American soldier who was wounded and captured by the Germans, and he had several painful wounds, one of them being the loss of an eye. He was taken to a German field hospital. It was just a tent. The conditions were very crude. The floor in that hospital was mud and dirt and puddles of filthy water. And he was treated in that tent and treated later harshly by his captors. And to make matters worse, there was a young German soldier on a cot right next to him who every few minutes would roll over and try to kick the young wounded American in anger. And then something happened in that tent. There was a group of Belgian prisoner carolers who were going tent by tent to sing the carols of Christmas, and they entered that tent and they began to sing Silent Night. And suddenly the darkness inside that tent was transformed into something entirely different, into light. The young German soldier's face, it began to lose its glare of hatred, and peace came upon his face, and then even a slight grin. And what happened next was startling. It was surprising. That young German soldier reached over and took the hand of that wounded young American, and the two of them began to sing together, each in his own language, the words of Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. And once again, in that story, you see the Spirit of God at work, a miracle. Jesus, the light, shining in the darkness. Jesus is referred to in the Old Testament as the morning star, and he still shines through people. He still shines through his church. Make no mistake about it. And through the centuries, there have been many people who have taken up the task of trying to extinguish the light. In the stories we learn of Jesus' birth and his life, there was Herod, Caiaphas, the high priest, and Pilate, the political leader. And through the centuries, there have been many others who have tried to extinguish the light, but they have all failed. What I'm saying this evening is, regardless of how much darkness we have in the world, the darkness cannot shut out even the tiniest light. You cannot stop the light of Christ from shining in the world. You can try to ignore it. You can belittle it. You can ridicule it. I don't care what you do. But I do know this, the light of Christ will survive even a pandemic, and it has. The light of Jesus Christ is still shining in the darkness. I want to close this evening with a little children's story. It's about how one day the sun up in the sky looked down on the earth and saw that the animals were agitated and troubled. Indeed, they were frightened. And the sun knelt down and said to the animals, "What's wrong?" And the animals replied, "One of our animal friends went down into that cave over there, and it was dark, and he was frightened to death." And the sun said, "What's dark? What does dark mean? I don't understand." And the animal said, "Well, if you stick your head in that cave over there, you will know what dark means." And so the sun leaned down and put his head into that dark cave. And when the sun leaned into the cave, it was not dark any longer. And that is because wherever the light shines, there is no darkness. And that's the message of John's gospel to us at the very beginning for Christmas. That wherever God is, wherever God's Son is, wherever God's Holy Spirit are, there can be no darkness. For where there is light, no darkness can exist. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.